Afternoons with Aaron here on KETE. And of course, it's a Mike Grimm Monday. And we got a lot of good things to talk about with Mike. Winning, winning, and more winning for our Minnesota teams over the weekend. For the most part, Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network, sports director, and of course, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports, men's basketball and football joins us. And Mike, a good afternoon.
Hey, yeah, Aaron, how you doing? It was indeed a pretty good weekend for Minnesota sports.
Well, let's start with the game that you did. You were in Bloomington, Indiana. I did not get a chance to watch any of the game. I was up in Buffalo watching my 13-year-old play basketball. I was scared when I saw it was 7-0, I think, going to the second quarter. But then the Gophers finally took over, and they did what they needed to do. They beat Indiana in Bloomington, and they won by a big margin.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, that first drive was a little scary. Indiana had their quarterback. It was Darryl Thompson mentioned on the air, it looked like a youth football game, speaking of youth sports, where you just put the best athlete at quarterback, snap it to him, and let him try to race down the field. And they got Minnesota, went 90 yards, 91 yards, something like that. And it was 7-0, and then the Gophers scored the next 35. And, you know, it was interesting. I think P.J. Fleck had a couple of times mentioned that, you know, not publicly, but kind of, hey, you know, this is a Gopher's chance to, you know, go in there and show, you know, don't let there be doubt. Don't let Bowling Green or Illinois happen again. And they definitely left no doubt. They were aggressive. It was a good game, I think, in really all phases. And they end up with a 35-14 win. They got some guys in late, which is always good. Get them some experience and playing time. And now you move on to the biggest game of the year, which happens to be the final game for the year coming up here.
Now, Mike, I'm looking at the standings in the Big Ten West, and I'm trying to figure out. It looks like if Iowa or Wisconsin wins, they're going to win the Big Ten West. If Wisconsin gets beat by our Gophers, then Iowa's in the driver's seat. If Iowa somehow gets beat by Nebraska, we could have maybe four teams tied for the top spot in the Big Ten West. How do the tiebreakers work if we have a mess here at the end?
Yeah, so in essence, if it's a four-way tie, the Minnesota Golden Gophers would go to Indianapolis.
Really?
If it's a three-way tie, then it would be Wisconsin going. And if it's a two-way tie, it would be Iowa or Wisconsin going. I got to get this right. Yeah, it would be Wisconsin going. And there's a way that Wisconsin or Iowa could win it outright still. If Iowa wins and Minnesota wins, Iowa wins the division outright. If Wisconsin wins, period, they would go, obviously. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. So you think, oh, well, four-way tie, that must a lot of stuff have to happen for Minnesota to go. And actually, the hardest of the three, points-wise, I mean, in terms of what the odds makers believe, is Minnesota beating Wisconsin. So that's going to be the hardest of three things have to happen for there to be a four-way tie. Minnesota's a 6.5 to 7 point underdog on its home field. So that's the hardest. The other two things that have to happen can happen. You've got Purdue needs to win to make it a four-way tie, and they are a 15-point favorite at home against Indiana. So you got to figure the Boilermakers, you know, will win that game. And then the other thing that has to happen is Nebraska, who has lost all these close games, has to beat Iowa on Friday. They play a good Friday game like they have since Nebraska joined the Big Ten. And believe it or not, I was surprised to see this. Nebraska is a 3-point favorite at home. 3-8 Nebraska is a 3-point favorite on 9-2 Iowa. So, which kind of tells you, you know, they go by analytics. It isn't just like, hey, who bets what? The opening number for sure is on analytics. And it kind of tells you that Nebraska has played well. They have 8 one-possession losses. They are 3-8, and all 8 of their games have been 8 points or less. And their 3 wins have. I know they've blown out a couple non-conference foes, but anyway, that's that. Meanwhile, Iowa's on the flip side of that. The analytics say they should not be as good as they are at 9-2. But turnovers and good field position through punting and punt returning, and they had a kickoff return for a touchdown. They had a defensive touchdown against Illinois. I mean, you look statistically, and again, it looked like on paper, as Minnesota did, it looked like Illinois, you know, controlled 3/4 of that game. But Iowa scored a defensive touchdown, and they had a kick return touchdown, and it's 14 points, and the Iowa Hawkeyes beat the Fighting Illini. So, Nebraska can win that game. I don't think there's any doubt about it. If I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan, I'm a little nervous about that. Obviously, if you're an Iowa fan, you're hoping that Iowa wins and Minnesota wins. If you're a Gopher fan, you're hoping that Nebraska wins, the Gophers win, and Purdue wins. And if you're Wisconsin, all you have to do is win.
Well, Mike, that sets up for even a crazier Saturday because, like you mentioned, they play on Friday night. So the Gophers would know going into that game against Wisconsin, which is a 3 o'clock kickoff at Huntington Bank Stadium coming up on Saturday. Gophers would know at that point, and I don't know what time Purdue plays, but if Iowa loses on Friday, wow, then the annual border battle gets even a bigger. I mean, it's already big for Wisconsin. Like you said, they win, they're in. But just like that, PJ Fleck's crew could still have an outside chance of getting in. That's awesome.
Yeah, no question. I think that Iowa-Nebraska game is a 1 o'clock game on Friday, if memory serves. I can't remember exactly. I know it's a daytime game. So, yeah, they'll know going to bed whether they have a chance or not. And if they don't have a chance, what they can do is play spoiler, knock Wisconsin out, and also move up maybe in the pecking order of the bowl games. And you know what? I mean, 7-win season is nice. They're sitting here at 7-4, but an 8-win season would even be better, whether you go to Indianapolis or not, right? So, and you want Paul Bunyan's axe. That's the biggest thing. When you talk to these guys this week, I'm sure that's going to be one of the first things out of their mouth. So, yeah, there's something to play for either way. But, oh, holy cow, if Nebraska finally figures out a way to win a close game and does so on Friday at home against Iowa, then holy cow, will that be a big-time situation on Saturday here.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher Sports, football and men's basketball, sports director, Minnesota News Network, on a Mike Grimm Monday. And let's talk about a winning Monday, a Vikings winning Monday, as they may be, I mean, there are so many great games in this history of the Vikings and the Packers, and they added another chapter. I mean, there was tons of Packer fans there yesterday, but they got their money's worth. Vikings fans got their money's worth. 34-31 victory for the Purple. Greg Joseph, walk-off, field goal. In a game that, as a Vikings fan, and Mike, you probably felt the same way, and I'm sure many of Vikings fans out there felt, we are going to find a way to let this get away. Because that's just the way we think. We know the Minnesota losing mentality. We just expected a loss, and hey, give our guys credit. We found a way. We kept the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. And we beat Green Bay, and now we're right back in the hunt when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I mean, I think most Minnesota fans were thinking Greg Joseph would bang that off the upright and we'd go to overtime and Aaron Rodgers would march down the field and win. But luckily he tucked it inside that right upright and off to a win. And, you know, I've made almost every Vikings game since that building opened, when was that, 2017, 2018, however many years it's been, maybe before that. However many it's been, I've been to almost all of them. And Aaron, I'm going to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen a better performance out of the guys who run the flags.
Oh,
I thought that was as good as I've seen right there. And, you know, you win a game on a walk-off, and those flag runners were unbelievable.
Hey, I appreciate the compliment. We got our exercise in, and that's the first time I've done a walk-off flag run in my career as a flag runner. So I definitely definitely enjoyed it. You know, it was such a weird game because there was, especially when Green Bay scored a couple of quick touchdowns where guys are wide open. There was that one play where Davante Adams was wide open in the end zone. That's where I think Minnesota Viking fans were feeling that eerie feeling creeping in again, that here we go again. We're going to find a way to blow this game. That's why, I mean, that place was electric at the end because I think it was joy and more surprise by our Minnesota Viking fans that, hey, we actually won that game. We beat Aaron Rodgers, and we're not even done with the NFC and North hunt yet. I mean, Green Bay still has a bye to go. I know that's wishful thinking. We're 2.5 games back. But that win really, I think, re-sparked Viking fans and also, you know, maybe going back to the Chargers win. The Chargers win was nice. This kind of solidified that, you know what, this Vikings team is just as good as anybody else.
Yeah, and I also like, I think we're starting to see, although they don't want to admit it, they even after the game wouldn't go that far, but I think we're seeing this offense morph a little bit into, look, we love Dalvin. He's one of the top running backs in the league, but we just can't keep just giving him the ball on first down and second down and do these things, and Kirk can't keep dropping back and checking down to Dalvin. and just get these little chunk plays, which I think in weeks two and three and four, Zimmer talked about. We saw it more last week, and then we really saw it this week, yesterday, where Kirk Cousins, and I you know, there were a couple of risky throws. Obviously, the one that did get intercepted that then got overturned, I shouldn't say it did. We thought it did, and then it got overturned when it was clear the ball hit the ground. That was obviously a risky throw. The throw to Thielen along the sideline that looked like a back shoulder throw, it turned out to be a front shoulder throw, and luckily the defensive back played it as a back shoulder throw, and somehow Thielen was able to keep connected to the ball. But I think if anything, it kind of can teach, Kirk Cousins a lesson that, look, sometimes, you know, try it. See what your playmakers can do, right? Get the ball out there and see what it can do. And so I think we're slowly starting to see that because, look, they've got weapons, right? I mean, Jefferson might be the best receiver in the league doing. And he just needs more targets. He still is, not in the top 20 in targets for a receiver, but, he's way up there in yards per catch and yards and touchdowns and all that stuff. Obviously, we know what Thielen can do. He's a touchdown machine. Had one again yesterday. And certainly Dalvin's not forgotten. I thought they dropped in the run when necessary. They threw to him a time or two. And I thought the offense obviously looked good against the Packers defense. It's kind of been up and down this year. But I think there's some exciting things. On paper, the schedule softens a bit. You still have the Bears twice. Obviously, we know Soldier Field's never a guarantee. I mean, even when the Bears have been bad, the Vikings have had some issues there. But, on chalk, on paper, you got the Lions once, you got the Bears a couple times. There's some other ones. Now, this week at San Francisco, they're in the identical boat as Minnesota. Rough start. Now they've won a couple in a row. They smoked Jacksonville yesterday, and both teams are 5-5. And when you talk about jockeying for playoff position, it's an important game this Sunday out in the Bay. So it's kind of fun to get back into the thick of things here.
Mike Grimm on you. Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE. And Mike, before I let you go, again, I mentioned on Saturday I was up in Buffalo watching basketball, and I get a text from a buddy of mine. He goes, "Are you watching this Timberwolves game?" And again, being a Minnesota fan that expects the worst, I'm like, "Are we down by a bunch?" He's like, "No, we're up by 25 like in the first half. We beat Memphis by, I think it was 40 on Saturday night. The Timberwolves have won three in a row. They have a game at New Orleans tonight. As a Timberwolves fan, one of my favorite teams of all the major sports, do you think the Timberwolves, and the schedule's been soft this week in this three-game winning streak, do you think the Timberwolves have turned a corner?
I'll be honest. I haven't been able to watch them much with my schedule, particularly these three- or four-week stretch where it's crossover basketball and travel and then you got football. But on paper, they're doing what you have to do, and that's when you have opportunities to win less, beat weaker teams, beat them. And tonight will be the next test on the road. You're playing a team that's, 3-15 in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Maybe they're turning a corner a little bit. There's some bad teams in the NBA, so there's no apologies. You know my philosophy. I don't care if it's youth baseball or tiddlywinks, never apologize for winning. You might be playing the worst checkers player ever, and he might run you right into a triple jump of a king. Hey, that's not your fault. Don't apologize. Hey, sorry, you stink. Just because San Antonio's no good this year and Memphis doesn't appear to be great, you still got to go win those games. And let's face it, even I thought the Gophers, right, against Indiana, they went out and got the game. They had that first drive, and then they were up 35-7. They scored 5 straight touchdowns. And I was surprised again on Twitter jump on my soapbox again, and even on one of the local radio shows yesterday, just like, yeah, but it's only Indiana. It's no big deal. They're terrible. Their quarterback can't throw and all those things. And I'm like, but do we not know, the history? Like, that's a game the Gophers have lost in the past.
Yeah, correct.
Like, at least, tonight's a game the Wolves would lose sometimes in the past. Go get it tonight, right? Memphis, they stopped some sort of a streak, but they lost like 8 or 9 in a row against Memphis. So, beating Memphis, there's something to be said for it. And certainly don't feel bad about it. It seems like, and I get it. We've been a scarred group, but I've never seen a fan base that has won so little and enjoys the wins when they come so little. Usually you'd think if you don't win much, when you do get them, you take joy in them. So that's my soapbox. It's become a weekly thing, but it keeps cropping its head. So I'm going to keep, banging that drum. But yeah, have the Wolves turned the corner? Not sure, but I'm sure not going to take anything away from the three-game winning streak. And certainly let's get four tonight. And look, they've got some talent. There's no doubt on the roster. And so there's some potential there, undoubtedly.
Enjoy the wins, Minnesota. It was a good week. Wild got beat in a tough one by Tampa Bay yesterday. Real quick, Mike, because I don't have it in front of me, Gopher women's basketball team, they're in action this afternoon, wrapping up things in the Bahamas.
Yeah, taking on Oklahoma, a pretty good team that's 4-1. UConn got the Gopher women on Saturday. That was to be expected. They played two good quarters, about even basketball, and then two quarters where UConn was just a little too much. And then they had a nice win last night the Gophers did against Syracuse. And they've got Oklahoma this afternoon. Then they come home, and I'm not sure what their schedule is the rest of the week. The Gopher men have a game Wednesday night here on campus, so it should be it should be a fun week. And obviously, you got hockey this weekend, and then Paul Bunyan's axe. Everyone's hoping can stay in town Saturday afternoon.
We'll hear from Mike Wednesday night for men's basketball, and of course, the battle for the axe coming up on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. Mike Grimm, Monday here on KETE. Mike, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, lots to be thankful for. Thank you, and we'll look forward to next week as well.